Ready, set, go!
This is the Checkpoint XP Podcast. Check out our international radio show and daily podcast at checkpointxp.com. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into the Checkpoint XP podcast on B-Pod Studios, the place to be for podcast discovery. Exclusive, uncensored, and extended conversations from the nationally syndicated crew of the Checkpoint XP radio show. My name's Nate Bender. I'm joined by the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. And we've got an exciting episode for you today, because today we are going to feature conversations with the hosts of Nerd Radio. Why? Because Nerd Radio is now going to be featured on our Twitch channel every Wednesday at 11:30 a.m. Eastern. Make sure you get there on time to catch all of the fun. We're going to sit down with both Chuck Bean and James from Nerd Radio today here on the show. But as always, we've got to start with podcast reviews.
Yay!
So,
we actually got some this time.
Oh, we do.
We had to, yeah, we had to chew them out last time.
Our Wait, shaming
are
worked.
They, are they good?
They are good.
Yeah.
So I do want to mention a review that we got from RobWill23, and I want to thank him because he found me on Steam and reached out to me and let me know that he left a review. He couldn't do it on Apple Podcasts, but he did it on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Here's the thing. It is a tome and a half long. It is so long, and we already have a very long show
we do,
for
yeah.
everyone this
yeah,
weekend.
Yeah.
It is a special... Listen, I know last weekend you got to hang out with us for the LCS semi... finals out at Game Time in Auburn Hills. This weekend, we are going to be out at the Little Caesars Arena cheering on, you know, whether
whichever
it's
team
Cloud Nine
for.
Or Team Liquid.
We're going to be cheering is the point.
We're going to be cheering. We're going to be enjoying the weekend, and we're going to be collecting interviews that you can hear on The Daily Show here on Monday at twitch.tv/checkpointxp, or, of course, as a podcast over at checkpointxp.com. So we've got our work cut out for us this weekend, but we wanted to give you an extra long show for you to enjoy over the weekend and let you know about a new show that's going to be here on our Twitch channel. So that's going to be coming up here today. Rob Will, I want to thank you for your very long review, but I don't want to spend that long reading reviews here on the first segment of the show when we've got so much other things to do.
Yeah, we'll get to it next week.
That's right. So I am going to read. You want to do two? You want
to do
two?
Let's do two. Ones.
All right. Our first review today comes to us from Hupset.
Hupset.
Like
hup,
it.
Hup,
that's awesome.
Hup. We haven't hopped in a while.
Nope, we haven't. But I hope that they're okay, because it sounds like they're Hupset.
Aww.
Boo. Yes, that's right. Anyway, Hupset says, awesome. 5-star rating. I've been listening to you guys for a few months since I heard you come over my airwaves in Houston on ESPN 97.5.
See, don't sleep on your local radio affiliates, man. Radio will never die.
Subscribe to the podcast a couple months ago. I love the chemistry and passion you guys put into your show. Normally don't leave reviews, but I understand wanting to be validated. So this one's for you guys.
I'm upset.
It really is for our fragile egos.
It really is.
This is for?
No, yeah. It totally is. So our second podcast review comes to us from R. Lennon 72.
R. Lennon?
R. Lennon.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yes. I assume John's brother?
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know.
Interesting.
Oh, long lost son?
I thought Lennon, like, you know, like the people control the means of production, Lennon.
No.
Oh.
No.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, the title is Love These Guys, a very short but sweet review. 5 out of 5 stars to have Joe review me again.
Wait, what?
When he reviewed our audience.
Oh,
he reviewed
right.
the audience. Okay. I'm like, what's going on?
R. Lennon was a big fan of that.
Gotcha.
Oh,
all right,
okay.
Cool.
All right.
Fair
nice.
Enough. Fair enough.
So like there you go. Those are two new podcast reviews left to us on Apple Podcasts. If you want to have your review read here on the Checkpoint XP podcast, then make sure you leave the review. You got to do it over at Apple Podcasts. Or if you leave it somewhere else, let us know.
Yeah, make sure you tell us.
Right?
Right.
That's Checkpoint XP on Apple Podcasts, and connect with us, of course, on social media, Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on the Checkpoint XP podcast, we're going to sit down with James from the Dave and Chuck the Freak Show, as well as Nerd Radio, once again, here on the Twitch Point. Damn it. Here on the Checkpoint XP Twitch channel, twitch.tv/checkpoint.
It's now
XP.
Officially the Twitch Point.
God damn it. We're going to be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to the Checkpoint XP podcast on B-Pod Studios, the place to be for podcast discovery. Let's check out a conversation that we had with James Campbell of the Dave and Chuck the Freak Morning Show and of Nerd Radio, heard here on the Checkpoint XP Twitch channel, twitch.tv/CheckpointXP, 11:30 a.m. Eastern on Wednesdays. Cool. Well, James from Dave and Chuck the Freak is going to sit down with us here.
Welcome.
James, how you doing, man?
What's going on?
We're in the Cuphead.
Yeah.
That's you.
That's all you.
What is going on?
The studio
with the Cuphead shirt, that is sharp.
Damn straight, man. Oh.
Cuphead, dude.
You got the cartoon coming to Netflix.
I'm ready. What? That just came out of nowhere.
Oh, I know. All of a sudden.
But again, that comic that we saw where like Netflix is just trying to get whatever they can because Disney owns everything else just makes more and more sense
with every passing day.
Yeah,
it's very
true. I want that, though. Start a bidding war for every IP. I want everything. Just buy everything. And that's the thing, man. Is Cuphead, when you saw it, you instantly went, oh my God, the animation of this is so amazing.
That's true.
So great.
I would watch this as a cartoon.
No, you're right. For a cartoon.
No, you're totally right.
It makes sense.
When you play it, you feel like you're part of a cartoon. You feel like you're from a 1930s cartoon.
Yes.
You have a starring role in this cartoon animation.
To the point where I don't know how they did that.
Like, I don't know either.
I mean, I know it took them a very, very long,
very
time,
long time
to make Cuphead.
Hand-drawn graphics, man. Who would have thought?
Right? Like, but I still don't. Like, from a fundamental point of view, understand how they pulled it off as well as they did.
It's amazing. The animation is what brought me into the game completely.
Yeah, totally.
And then the frustration of being able not to beat these bosses kept me there.
Yeah.
Kept me going.
Were you a fan of, like, the old, like, Max Fleischer cartoons or, you know, like, the old Superman?
Steamboat Willie.
Yeah, like the early Disney sort of stuff.
It brought me with so much nostalgia when I saw this. Like, I just saw, like, the preview or whatever, like a trailer for the game, mm-hmm. and I was like... That's pretty cool looking.
Did you ever see the trailer for Bendy? It was like Bendy
and the Ink Machine.
Yeah.
I have not.
It's sort of similar. It's like 1950s, like taking an era back.
I see the action figures and those toys.
Yeah.
But when I'm shopping for my designer toys, I see those all the time. I didn't even know what Bendy was.
They do a horror game based around kind of that style of animation. It's basically about a guy
who used the ink machine
to create these cartoons, but there's like a horror tinge to it. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. So, James, we got to know you a little bit. Our audience got to know you a little bit out at the opening of Game Time.
Yeah.
And since then, you know, we've been hearing, when is James coming back?
Thank you, everybody who's demanding James come back to the show.
So, when we got to know you out there, I found out that you had actually purchased Fallout 76.
I did.
That you were one of those people.
Yes.
One of my
my people.
What about our people? Why haven't you gone to power level them?
Well, what you play on PlayStation, right?
I'm Xbox One.
Xbox, I'm sorry.
I mean, I play PlayStation, oh. Xbox. Plus, sorry, the only thing I don't play. Oh,
plus power leveling doesn't really
not
work.
Not an Xbox guy, huh?
Ugh.
None of us are really.
No, but really? I mean, sharing of resources is a very
help,
valuable.
Yeah, but if you're
thing.
In the group with a higher level person, you don't get full XP for higher level monsters.
Yeah, it doesn't quite
sit down.
Doesn't quite work like that.
Can't believe I'm in a room of PS4 guys.
Well,
Switch guys, PS4 Switch guys,
PS4 and Switch. I just don't think. I think you might be the only one that owns a Microsoft console.
Really? Dude, since Halo 3, man, I've been Xbox. Xbox boys since Halo 3.
You have a PC. Because, see, my problem is if there's something that I could play on the Xbox or wanted to, I can just get it on the PC.
Okay, see, I'm clueless when it comes to PC gaming.
That's fair, then. I get that, then.
Oh, it's because growing up as a kid, I was not allowed to put games on the computer. The computer's for homework, writing reports. You're not going to junk it up with all these video games. You want to play video games, you go play on your Nintendo.
Did you just put a virus on the computer?
Exactly. I'm like, well, I did, but it's not from a video game. It's from some website. Mom!
Oh, my God. I don't know. I can't tell you how many times I went through that.
Ragans in the chat says, homework, in quotations.
Homework.
Homework at 2 a.m. when everyone else is asleep.
Anatomy homework.
I was up late looking at stuff I wasn't supposed to be and downloading things I wasn't supposed to be.
That's right.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Don't tell the police.
I can remember almost destroying a Gateway 2000 computer because all I wanted to do was play the MS-DOS version of Jurassic Park. Really? That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted.
Not even a good game.
No, it wasn't a good game.
No, it was garbage.
But I thought that was a simple enough request. I wanted to do.
Was that game similar to the one for Sega Genesis?
No, not at all.
Way worse than the one for Sega Genesis.
Substantially worse.
Top down, horrible.
Okay. Just it was really, bad.
Top down,
the Genesis
horrible.
Game. Well, was fun, genre. Man. You can play as the Raptor or you can play as a, what is it?
Dr. Grant.
Yeah. I loved that game.
You know what's funny? I just thought about something. Speaking of homework and home PCs, I was into the whole rap thing back in the day, and I remember we used to record on my PC at home, and I remember those pop-ups, the virus pop-ups.
Those unique pop-ups.
Like, in the middle of a recording session, it's just like, doom, 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 doom. And I remember my buddies going, so, Norris, what you been doing on the computer, buddy?
What would have been really cool is if you'd made a beat out of all those, just pop them.
Somebody has.
You know what?
Somebody has.
Nice.
There was definitely one on my computer when I was probably, 14, where it was the whole run of pop-ups. So you had it would do one and then do 20 more, and you have to start clicking through them. And the first one that popped up had volume and just announced loudly to the world, "Hey everybody, I'm looking at gay porn right now." Oh, yeah. And that happened while my grandparents were over.
Nice.
They thought that was interesting. I will never forget them mentioning to my parents, we're worried about some of the things that Joe might be looking at on the computer.
Joe's looking at gay porn.
Yeah.
He's always looking at gay porn on the computer. He's even announcing it. He's looking at gay porn. He's addicted to it.
He's not even ashamed of it. He just tells everybody now.
And he's telling us in a weird robotic lady's voice. Yeah. I don't understand. Yeah. Is that some weird side effect that happens?
A side effect?
He's got some gay porn mistress on that computer.
Gay porn mistress.
1998. Yeah, no, the mysteries of computers to grandparents in 1998. That's really what we're talking about.
No, seriously, I was playing Command & Conquer one time, and I had a aunt who's much older than my mom.
Yeah.
And she came over one time, and I'm playing Command & Conquer Red Alert, and straight up she saw one of the little movies, the FMVs, and she straight up was like, "Norris is on the computer talking to the Russians." I was just like,
"Yes, we are plotting a world domination."
Oh, that is awesome.
And I'm just looking like, "Auntie, I'm not a communist." little 10-year-old Norris is having to explain not being a communist.
Did anyone else have this moment with their grandparents or maybe even their parents where, you're playing an MMO, early on, and they've seen you play computer games before and they kind of get it, but you bring them in and you're like, "See that other person moving around? That's somebody else who's sitting in front of their computer, trying to explain that concept." And I can go up to them and have a conversation and, "Hey, how you doing?" It was something that blew my grandparents' minds.
This is a true story. Labor Day weekend one year, we had family over for Labor Day, and I'm in my room playing Final Fantasy XI, and my grandfather knocks at the door and comes in, and he's like, hey.
Not participating with family.
Exactly. Usually. He's like, hey, your mom sent me to come get you. And I'm like, all right, cool. I'll be out in like 10 minutes. And he's like, he walks over and asks, you know, hey, what is this? And I'm explaining to him, like, well, it's a game. And you know how, like, because his context of video game at this point is like Pro-Am Golf.
Sure.
Wheel of Fortune on DOS.
I was about to say, like,
Link's Awakening on the Game Boy.
Wheel of Fortune on DOS, yes.
But he had something he liked, though.
Right.
So he had a window in.
So when I start explaining to him, like, yeah, oh, yeah, no, these are all actual people elsewhere in the world who are, you know, playing the game at the same time. And he got so into it. Fast forward 6 hours later, as we both leave my room, and he's trying to explain it to my grandmother now, because he's in. He thinks it's the coolest thing in the world.
That's really cool.
Grandpa Fife was amazing about that.
James, did you ever play, like, online games, MMOs, growing up?
Not really, no.
No?
Not much. I was always, it's funny, because I was into video games for a long time, and then I was out of video games for a couple of years, and then I got sucked right back in.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, a lot of the online stuff, I didn't really understand. Like, I think the first game I bought was, like, a Resident Evil online for, like, was a PS2.
Oh, yeah.
That game was terrible.
It was. This is the biggest waste of money.
It was online. Yes.
It was you played as the squad of
It was like a collection of non-important people.
You played like a Stars or something?
No, not even. It was like you played as like a librarian. It was Clue, basically. You played as like a librarian or something.
You got farther in the game than what I did.
It was like random citizens is the point.
Okay.
You played as like random citizens and they had different skills.
But terrible?
Yes. It was Left 4 Dead and Resident Evil, but take everything good about Left 4 Dead out and then put everything you hate about Resident Evil in.
Nice.
Great. That's what it was.
Awesome. Like, outside of, you know, like, MMOs like Ultima Online or Final Fantasy XI, like, my first online gaming experience was either Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 online, right? Like, you could go and, like, skate with other people. That was kind of fun. And it gave me a second use for that stupid modem that you could attach to the PS2.
Yep.
And then the other one was SOCOM.
Yeah, oh, SOCOM. Yeah.
James, I got to ask you, because you mentioned coming back to video games after being gone for a while. And we're getting feedback about this a lot from, like, radio listeners. Because, you know, a lot of them are listening on sports stations. And, you know, they maybe were into video games and geeky stuff as a teenager. Then they got out of
life,
it. Now they're a parent. They've got a kid who's starting to get into video games. And they're kind of coming back to it when they discover our show. What brought you back to video games?
The girl that I was with at the time was no longer with me anymore, so I had a lot of free time on my hands.
Yes!
Extra money to spend.
There's a tale as old as time.
And I could afford a decent internet connection.
Nate, you have many, many tales of something.
You know, we were just talking about this yesterday, because we were asking, you know, have video games ever impacted your relationship, positive or negative? And I was in a 10-year-long relationship where it seems like video games were like the main point of friction between the two of us. Right? Like, it was like, you're not spending enough time with me.
You're always on your video game.
Exactly.
What game was I playing at the time? It was some weird game where you could win money if you found some hidden thing. It was like back when I worked at a different radio station, we had a promo copy of it. And I was like, what? I got a free game.
Like, interesting. Real money?
There was something in there. Yeah, I forgot what it was. Some sword quest in the modern era
or something?
Some Easter egg that you would find. It was some weird futuristic game. If you found this Easter egg.
Second Life?
Really?
I don't think it was Second Life, no. Because I never got into Second Life. Because my Second Life would probably be way cooler than what my real life is. But I remember, like, I was trying to find this thing. And then I was also playing Doom a lot. I was always getting scared. She'd always be screaming about me playing the game.
Yeah.
Shooting these demons and stuff.
You tried any of the newer Doom stuff that came out?
I am horrible at playing scary video games because I am the biggest baby. Like, I literally get scared. I need somebody to sit with me. So when I was playing Resident Evil 2, I'd have to have my little sister come and sit with me because I would be scared playing Resident Evil 2. I'm the biggest baby.
I locked my younger brother in a basement.
Oh, no.
While I was playing Resident Evil 2, and there's a point where a liquor jumps through
the interrogation room.
Mirror in the interrogation room.
I remember it vividly.
And I gave him the controller knowing that that was about to happen. And I was just like, yo, you should play this part. There's a fight coming up and it's really cool. And he was like, oh, all right, cool. Because like the zombies and stuff didn't bother him. But
it's all the jump scares.
The jump scares. So I already was doing it properly, playing in the basement at night with the lights off.
I'm scared just thinking about it.
Right? So I sat him there. He had the controller. And I was like, yeah, go in this room. So I walked away. And as soon as I heard the door open, I made my way towards the stairs. And as soon as I heard, psh, I ran up the stairs, closed the door, and locked it.
No!
And all I heard was, let me out! Oh, man.
So, probably scarred him for life.
So, over the weekend, I binge watched season 3 of Stranger Things.
Oh, so
yeah,
good.
I keep hearing it's good.
It's so really good. You should definitely check it out. But there's a very kind of climactic moment. It's a scary TV show, right? So there's a climactic moment, and I am just sucked into the moment. Like, I'm watching, you know, probably this close to
super immersed.
Yeah, to my computer screen, and from behind me, I've got blinds. Like, I've got windows about this big, right?
Okay.
And so I've got these kind of paper blinds behind me, and as this like very heightened moment happens, the blinds tore and fell. And I let out a shriek that I don't think I could imitate it. I literally I was ready for police to arrive at my door,
right?
For like one of my neighbors calling the cops.
Someone's been murdered.
Yeah, right.
You didn't yell it. It escaped you.
It did.
Yeah.
You can't imitate that kind of noise. And I like there's only two times where I've ever been truly kind of like frightened like that. The other time I was watching The Babadook.
Have you ever seen The Babadook?
The Babadook.
Babadook.
Love that
movie. Yeah, I remember that
one. So right at the climax of the movie, I'm watching it with my girlfriend at the time. And, you know, it's the moment where the Babadook gets pulled back into the basement.
Yeah,
right?
Okay.
As soon as that door slammed, the power went out.
Oh,
bro. You got some crazy coincidences going on in your life.
Power went out. And both of us are sitting there like, what?
This place is haunted.
What do we do?
And
what?
Both of you are like, telling the other one, like, well, you got to go get it back on. I'm not doing it.
The Babadook's going to get you. You got to go downstairs and flip that switch.
I mean, it was a brand new house that she had just bought. It was huge. Like, it was like a bigger house than, like,
you were used to.
Yeah. Like, I live in an apartment. Like, I can check the three rooms that I have in 30 seconds.
Right.
So I'm like, she's like, go down in the basement. I'm like, I don't want to go down in the basement.
She's like, check under the bed, check behind the couch.
So I have a question just in terms of, you know, coming back into gaming and in the game. Games that brought you back. Like, what are you playing right now that's got you, you know, still
right
into
now?
It?
Well, the game I play the most right now is Realm Royale. So okay. I play that a lot, and mm-hmm. I play a little bit of Rage 2.
Yeah,
nice. We're hearing a lot of people play Rage 2.
Yeah. Well, because talking about the Fallout 76, everything that I miss in Fallout 76, I feel like I'm getting in Rage 2.
No, okay.
I always feel so desolate and lonely and depressed when I play Fallout 76. But in Rage 2, I'm like, hey, we got all these crazy punk rock, like, mm-hmm. bad guys. There's more people here. It's not just me by myself trying to hunt a mole rat to eat and live.
Right.
You know? I'm not going on these weird,
like,
crazy
that,
quests where I got to, like, get clean water.
Sure, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, adding on to Norris's question, because it's something we've also been asking people, what game right now are you most looking forward to that isn't out yet?
Oh, man, looking forward to that isn't out yet. I'd have to see a list of games, because it'll always change the sound. It might sound lame, but the remake of Battletoads?
Oh, there's nothing lame about that.
I want to play that. Okay. I want to relive the Battletoads experience.
Did you see the latest trailer for it from E3 this
year?
Yes.
I was not a fan of the art style.
I'm not a fan of the art.
No, I love it. Oh, I think
really?
It looks great. Yeah.
Oh, like, I feel like it's like a Teen Titans Go version.
It's like Saturday morning cartoons.
I mean, yeah.
I'm a cartoon guy. I love
it. It could be great. Like, I there's a lot of people out there who just like abjectly hate Teen Titans Go. I think it's a hilarious
Teen Titans
show.
Go is hilarious.
I love watching that show.
Yeah, I'm fine. So, with the animation style.
It could be okay. I just think, I mean, like, in my own head, when they had announced it, I'm like, oh, I really want that sort of like very comic book esque style,
like Turtles.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, but I mean, you know, I guess I don't know. I don't want
high res pixels.
No, yeah.
That's what I wanted. I wanted high res pixels, man.
I just don't like change.
I just want to be able to beat the turbo tunnel. That's all I want to be able to do.
Without
a game genie.
The answer probably is you will not be able to beat it.
I have
only
no
third stage in the new one. Forget it, man.
Well, actually, you might be, because it'll be like auto save and stuff like that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's true. You won't have to play through from the beginning of the game every time you get a game over. That's.
That's modern
fair.
Conveniences of modern gaming.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
You know, I hope they do. I want more games to do stuff like that, though. I want more games to just be like, no, this is an old school game. So you get six
like
lives.
Cuphead.
Yeah. Here's your lives. And if you screw it up, you're done.
Yeah. Start over.
That's
back
it.
To
you
the beginning.
Start over.
I mean, the problem is, like, games don't take, you know, games nowadays are 40 hours to beat, not 3 hours to
tell,
beat,
tell
or
that,
a half hour.
Tell that to the 116 hours I've plugged into Fallout 4.
I mean, but that's what I mean, though. Like,
but that
if
game
you died at 100 hours into Fallout 4 and had to go back to square one as soon as
true.
You died,
but like,
yeah,
also,
you can't
also,
do that.
Also, but games like that today, like that game doesn't take 116 hours to beat.
No.
There's more in there for you to do.
But like a game like Celeste, stuff. Right? If I ran Celeste, perfect. No deaths. That game probably would have took me like 2 hours.
Yeah.
But it's because it's built for trial
the
and error
the
challenge. Then it padded the gameplay.
And that's likely what Battletoads, I think, will end up being, too.
Yeah.
It's sort of the same sort of thing. Which, I mean, that's fine. I mean, give me the original challenge of Battletoads. I like that.
If you're remaking Battletoads, you might as well make it hard again.
Yeah. But, I mean, how many of us sat
in here? It was Dark Souls before Dark Souls.
Yeah, but how many of us sat in here and said how much we liked Celeste because it was hard?
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Fair. Well, all of you cheated to beat it, but...
Oh, cheaters.
Everybody, if it's in the game, it's not cheating.
Okay. I agree. I totally agree with
okay,
that.
Okay, fine. You didn't cheat. How many, the
took
rest
the
of you guys took the easy way out?
That's fine, but I also don't think that the difficulty is what made the game great. It was a facet of it, sure, but there was things in that game was still amazing, the difficulty aside.
That's true. Yeah. I'll give you that.
James, have you heard of this e-girl bathroom?
Oh, God.
The e-girl, the girls who's selling her bathwater, the streamer, the cosplayer,
or the
influencer who's selling her bathwater.
Yes,
yeah. Well, if you guys are into her bathwater, I'm also selling my used bong water.
Oh,
it's going to be half the price of what her stuff is. But yeah, I have heard of her.
Well, I did see that someone in the chat first of all said that they would buy your bathwater earlier.
Oh, they would.
So. They did.
Yep, there you go. I mean, we're asking people your thoughts on it.
I think it's ridiculous, but at the same time,
what's ridiculous? Her or the people who buy it?
The people that are buying it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Like.
Because our opinion has pretty much been respect the hustle.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I get it. Hey, if somebody's, that email, you want to send me that email, I'll sell that person my bathwater. Sure.
Well, totally.
We'll negotiate a deal. You know, you want my used boxer shorts, we could sell that to you, too, if you want some of those.
Right.
It's just crazy that people are going to buy this bathwater from this chick. What are you going to do with it?
You know, there
have been various uses for the bathwater.
Some
drink it.
Some people have drank it.
Okay.
Another person vaped it.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
That's horrible. When I saw that, I was like, that's horrific. That's the worst thing I've ever seen.
There are some rumors going around. One guy claims to have ran a DNA test on the water.
This guy.
Okay.
And says that it's not bathwater. So there are some people who are genuinely upset that what they got is actually the bathwater.
Yeah. False advertising.
I
want my certified guarantee bathwater from this chick.
Yeah.
I want some sort of an official statement saying this is from her official bath.
Oh, someone boiled a hot dog.
Yeah, Lloyd in our chat is saying boiled hot dogs.
No.
That's a tasty wiener.
God damn it.
You just took really gross water and made it grosser water.
Now it's gross hot dog water, too?
Now, hold on. Now what I hope that person does is turns that water into ice cubes, and when somebody they don't like comes over...
Oh! Gamer Girl bath hot dog water.
That might be the best use of it at all. Throw the hot dogs away.
As long as
you never eat the hot dogs, I'm okay with that.
If you eat
the hot dogs, I'm assuming that you have some kind of weird fetish.
That's also assault. Like, that's a biological attack.
Biological attack?
I don't know that it is. If this microbiologist is right, it's just tap
water. It's just tap water,
Alleged microbiologist.
Yeah, alleged. Microbiologist.
I can't believe that I'm saying this, but I think I would genuinely be upset if it wasn't her bathwater. Like, I respect the hustle so much. I love that she's doing that. But if you get people to pay you $30 for a jar of your bathwater, the least you could do is actually have it be your bath
water.
My gosh. You know what I mean?
Actually take a bath in it, too.
Right, like...
Not just sit in the tub and spray yourself down with the hose so you're on Twitch so everybody can see you get all wet and...
Exactly. If you can get, like... Can I just get a video of the other thing?
I'd rather have a video of the other thing.
Exactly, but if you can get, like, you sit in, one bathtub of water is probably, like, you know, I don't know, 50 or 100 of these jars. That's, we're talking, you know, thousands of dollars per bath.
Yeah.
The least you could do...
is actually right, listen, is have it be real bathwater.
But that's so labor intensive. Could you imagine?
Not for that kind of margin. It's not.
No, somebody's got to sit back and scoop out all the water individually, jarred up.
If someone's
wipe the
paying
jars
me
off,
$30 per jar, I'm doing
it. Yeah, let's say it takes.
I'm just saying, there's no way in the world that she could have sold as much as she sold, and it's all bathwater.
She could have literally sat in the bath and filled the jars up while she was sitting in the bath.
Let's say it takes you 10 hours to jar up all that bathwater. That is $300 an hour you're making.
That's a good check.
I'm in for that.
You know, guys, there's another angle in the chat that we have not thought about that this is very interesting.
Okay.
All right. And the Night Train, friend of the show, the Night Train, has said, asking Kooky will they be talking about it on Not Your Player 2.
Oh, God.
But he says it could be setting female streamers back a bit.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I would actually be very curious to hear Not Your Player 2's opinion.
I would love to hear their
opinion. I don't feel qualified to give an opinion on
that. As somebody who is not a female streamer, I'm not going to say shit about it.
Yeah, I don't feel genuinely. I genuinely don't feel qualified to give an opinion on that.
But I think I would love to hear that perspective on, you know, on this particular issue. Because I think I would love to hear women's opinion about this. Is it like us? Is it a respect the hustle type issue, or is it like, oh my god, no, please stop doing this?
Because I could definitely see it from a female streamer's perspective of like, great, is this the expectation now of what I have to do? Do I need to start doing that?
Yeah.
Well, but wouldn't that sort of be like, well, looking at like Dr. Disrespect and going like, well, do I have to get banned to be successful? Because he came back to a huge amount of fanfare.
Yeah.
And to be honest, when we talked about the Dr. Disrespect issue, that's actually kind of the concern that we had, is that, you know, young streamers on the platform will look at that and go, well, that's the model for success. I've got to break the rules. I've got to get in trouble. And then Twitch will come and slap me on the wrist.
Well,
and
I'll tell you from my experience. I have already been banned from Twitch once.
Have you really?
I have not got any huge success.
Yeah, I feel like there's a baseline success you have to already have for
that's
that to
true.
Pay off for
yeah.
you.
Yeah,
you need a story on Dexerto.
Really quick, do you guys think that Dr. Disrespect does his own Twitter?
No, not anymore.
No,
absolutely not.
Okay,
so.
Because there was a tweet that went on the other day. I'm like, is Doc drunk? It was one of the first to ever use in the world a firsty strike grenade ion formanuit live on twitch.tv.drduiswisped.
Okay, well, if he's not doing his own Twitter.
That was probably actually him.
Okay.
That looks like a fat-fingered tweet if I've ever seen
it. Oh, that was more than fat-fingered. Somebody was drunk.
He sent that tweet from the bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll bet he did. If he didn't send that tweet, he definitely needs to hire someone new.
Agreed.
Someone lost their job for that.
He got a lot of people losing their jobs in his camp right now.
Yeah, you know, amen. You guys, let's go back 15 years, and you were to tell yourself, you know, what's gaming going to look like in 15, 20 years?
Oh, so we talking about 2004, 2005?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, how many of us was like, you know, by that time, I bet, you know, we'll be like, you know, in VR and like, you know, doing all kinds of cool stuff like that. Fast forward here, and we're just talking about Gamer Girl Bathwater.
Like,
No, you know what I thought it would be? I thought, honestly, gaming would be what No Man's Sky said it was supposed to be. That's what I thought. Was Star Citizen is trying to be?
Yeah.
That's what I thought the next logical step for games was that we would be able to create a whole galaxy of locales and cities and planets and all that stuff, and it would be no problem.
Well, they're trying.
For game companies.
And that's
the
thing is, now we're seeing with the advances they're making in AI programming, like now, 10, 15 years from now, I do believe that's exactly what AI will make it.
Because there are people even right now, they're still trying to do that. Beyond Good and Evil 2. Like, that's the type of stuff that they're hoping to do in there. And with stuff like what Stadia is maybe bringing and the AI.
Right, cloud-based development.
Developing,
and stuff like that.
It's possible.
Yeah.
I don't even think it would be 10 to 15 years.
Maybe. I don't know.
But it's just in 2004, I thought that by now, that would
that's
be
what we
didn't
would
think
have.
We'd be talking about e-girl gaming bathwater, though.
That is true. But I was also surprised to see that E3 would walk away from Booth Babes.
Yeah.
I thought that Booth Babes were
that,
just...
That was a kind of step in the right direction.
Inextricably linked thing to E3.
Why, did they ban hot chicks at the...
Well, no! They're not using them to promote them.
So no hot promotional models walking around strutting their stuff. Like, hey, check out...
So much different back in, like, even 06.
Yeah.
Like, where it was, like, almost a requirement for every booth to have, you know, promo models.
Gotcha.
Which, I mean, listen, I've dated promo models. Like, I have no problem with it whatsoever.
Y'all saw how he tried to flex, right? Don't let him get away with that.
Humble brag.
Right.
There were. Remember the
I am
forget,
a promo
I forget
model.
What the, I forget what the brand was. Remember that weird energy drink that was at E3 this year?
Everyone hated it.
Pretty much got roundly criticized. The one energy drink that brought it to E3 this year. So, you know, I think it's a change in culture that has happened over time that, you know, like, I'm totally okay with. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I don't think that should be a requirement for an E3 booth, right? If you want to have that.
Yeah, I agree. If you want it,
if you want it,
fine.
That's fine.
I would never say you're required to have hot chicks.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Hot hunks, you know, on display at all times.
But it
was sort of feeling like that. Like,
yes.
At one point, it was so kind of over the top.
Pervasive.
Yeah, that it was, like, hard to ignore. And it was like, maybe this is not a good look, you know?
I feel
and
like gaming companies, too, would probably get more bang for their buck if they invested in, like, really cool cosplayers.
That's kind of the reason we replaced it. When we went to the
absolutely.
Final Fantasy VII remake, they had these two chicks dressed up as Turks that were, like, interrogating people in line waiting to play the game.
That's cool. Stuff like that.
It was really cool.
That brings your game to life. That gets people excited about it. They're curious, like, why? Who is this character?
Right.
What's his deal in the game or her deal in the game?
Oh, right.
I want to check it out.
Yeah. I mean, I can remember, you know, G4 segments. Did you ever
watch? You're taking it back old school.
I know, right?
Time, man.
But do you remember when G4 would go out to E3? They would just interview booth babes that, like, weren't even remotely.
That was a segment.
It was an entire segment, and it just made you go, yeah, maybe this is not entirely necessary.
Well, they just know this is going to get the ratings.
That's true.
That's up late. If G4 was on, when I was watching it, it was always on, like, late night. Or maybe that was just the only time I was watching. So the dudes that are watching TV late at night,
exactly.
They want to see the booth babes.
Yeah.
So they're going to give them what they want.
Right after the man show ends, now we're switching on over to our E3 press coverage.
The juggies that would jump around on the trampolines for them.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, my God.
Girls on trampolines.
Ever
date
a juggie?
Juggies.
They were called juggies. Juggies. Yeah. Oh, you know what?
That was real.
Trash in the 90s.
That was a real thing. I'd like block that out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was very real. That was very, very real. Well, James. Thank you very much for coming by today.
Guys. Thanks for having me.
You are so generous with your time. We really appreciate it. Make sure you check out the Dave and Chuck the Freak Show weekday mornings. You guys start at 6, right?
Yes.
6 a.m. Yes. on 101 WRIF. It's a huge honor to have you here.
Awesome. I mean, it's a pleasure to be here. I appreciate coming in and being able to talk video games with you guys.
Yeah. Dave and Chuck the Freak Show is one of the best shows on radio, and I'm not over-exaggerating. Go check it out. Podcast. You guys got the videos that you do every
Peep shows.
Check it out.
We do a whole show. We got a little Tasty Bit podcast that takes all the best stuff from each morning and puts it into one little podcast for you.
Is there a .com?
DaveandChuckTheFreak.com.
There you go. DaveandChuckTheFreak.com. Make sure you check it out. Subscribe to the podcast. Give them your social media and where they can follow you on Twitch.
At Who the F is JC on any social media site that matters. Who the F is JC. You can find me there.
Nice.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, man.
Hopefully, have me back in. You guys ever want to do Realm Royale?
Absolutely.
I'll show you guys, how to get a Crown Royale.
To be honest, I've got Realm Royale installed on all the stuff because I was hoping we could do one of each.
Gotcha.
But then.
Hey, time didn't work out.
Yeah, it didn't.
It's all good.
Next time.
Guys, take care. We'll see you all later. Thanks so much, James.
Thank you.
Thanks again to James for his time. And again, make sure you check out Nerd Radio 11:30 a.m. on Wednesdays right here at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Stick around, because coming up next, we're going to sit down with Chuck Bean, James's co-host for Nerd Radio. That's ahead next on the Checkpoint XP podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP,
esports and gaming radio.
CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to the Checkpoint XP podcast on BPod Studios, the place to be for podcast discovery. Let's check out our conversation with Chuck Bean, host of Nerd Radio, heard at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP Wednesdays at 11:30 a.m. We've got a special guest in studio hanging out with us, Chuck Bean from Nerd Radio. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, man?
How you doing?
You got so much energy. Jesus. I didn't see Red Bull in that Hulk hand over there.
No, God. It comes from the depths, and when the cameras go on, so does the energy.
Yes, exactly.
How you doing, man?
I'm great. How are you, man? I feel like I've been to the penthouse now.
Everybody says that about up here. Is it really that? Is it that stark?
Have you been down to the slums?
Well, we haven't trodden amongst the peasants in a moment, I suppose.
Think about it though, because Jell-O probably gives us the most crap, and they really do just have them down in like a box down there.
Yeah,
you know?
I worked in that box for like four years.
So you should know this is a stark difference.
Listen, this studio is fantastic, but the studios downstairs are also
fantastic. Seven windows, man.
Let me tell you, we record Nerd Radio every week in the edit studio, and
yeah, that's a closet.
There are no windows, and we joke that is where equipment goes to die.
Yeah.
Oh, in fact, we had a mic die on us.
No!
In the middle of this week's show.
No,
had to quickly scramble that's to put.
I got a question. When do you record Nerd Radio?
We record it on Wednesday afternoons, and then it goes up on Friday mornings.
Why don't you record it in here? Yeah, in literally the new.
I have no idea.
Studio.
It was never an option offered to us.
I think that might be. That might be fun.
That might be something.
I don't see why not.
Yeah.
Right?
I think there's definitely some interest.
I mean, some cross branding, right?
Right.
I would think so. I would say.
What's the phrase? Mi casa, su casa. Is that right?
Right.
Yeah.
I like it.
You know, either you're going to speak Spanish or you're not going to speak Spanish.
So for those that may not be familiar with Nerd Radio, why don't you tell some of our listeners like what you guys do?
Nerd Radio is a podcast that's offered as part of the BPod Studios Network, is recorded here in Detroit, Michigan, as part of WRIF.com. Myself, Al Beck, who is a producer on the Dave and Chuck the Freak Morning Show, and James, who is also part of the Dave and Chuck the Freak Morning Show, get together every week, and we talk about, we kind of skim over the headlines of what's going on in the worlds of nerds. Initially, I put the show together because I used to get very excited when one of the morning shows here in Detroit, before I even got into radio, would talk about the TV show Lost.
Oh, yeah.
You just made a best friend.
Oh, no.
Pandora's box has been opened.
I was so excited. They would talk about Lost, and I'm like, this is something I'm interested in. And then, like, 20 minutes later, they talk about college football, and I don't care. So when I got into the building and into radio and stuff like that, I was like, well, what if we just did that?
Just the video game part, the nerd part.
Just talked about what's going on in the world of comic books, because I'm a big comic book nerd. Or what's going on, you know, what TV shows we're watching, what's we're streaming or something like that. What video games are we playing, kind of thing. And that's kind of what it morphed into.
That is awesome. I was a big fan of Lost.
We know.
Were you a fan from the first season, or did you pick it up midway through?
I think I watched the first season on DVD, and then I was locked in for the rest of it.
Yeah, I joined a little bit late. I think I joined around season 5, so I binged like the first 4 seasons, and I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
It was really fun. The journey is amazing.
The destination, not so much.
And not the first time that I had experienced that either, because...
Did you play Mass Effect 2?
I did, but 3 is the one where I'd argue
Mass Effect as well.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I was like, don't you be talking Mass Effect.
No Mass Effect slander in this.
Yeah, I realize I'm in your house, but I don't want to have to fight one of you if you're going to slander Mass Effect 2.
Am I going to have to cut a bitch? No, but I mean, like, that was the beauty of Lost. It's funny. It's like the same thing just played out with Game of Thrones, right? Like, you know, like, people really loved that show but hated where it went.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And I always find that so fascinating how that's so polarizing.
You're right.
But I got into it on the level where, like, I don't know if you remember in the last season where they did sort of like this promo thing where they had Paul Scheer going around. Like, Paul Scheer was a big fan of Lost.
Yeah.
But he was going around doing it was like an ARG where you would get hints to where a URL would be, and it would be like in Brazil. So someone in Brazil would have to go to these like a location, and it would be painted on a wall or something.
And then they would take a picture or something and post it in the Reddit thread.
Exactly. And then when the URL went out, there was like 150 prints that you could buy. Right. Huh. So someone had to find the URL, post the URL publicly, and then the prints would be live. I bought like 4 of them.
Okay.
I spent so much goddamn money and then hated the final season. So yeah. I have all these prints of a show that I'm like, I'm kind of lukewarm.
So when you bought all those prints, were you using the Beanie Baby logic? Someday these are going to be worth
money. These are going to be worth
something. No. Well, kind of a little bit.
Hopefully.
Because some very like now famous artists worked on those, mm-hmm. like Ollie Moss. He did some of the White Stripes like special edition box sets and stuff like that. Like, they've got some real chops. So in terms of like, if these artists ever do something, you know, like very profound or huge, it might actually be worth something someday. So anyway, I don't know how we got on that weird tangent.
You were lost. That yeah. happens every time Lost gets brought up.
We got lost.
Yeah, that's
about Lost.
It's true.
God.
It's true. But I think I would experience something similar, although I would get very frustrated when I would hear, not morning shows, because I was at the time Norris and I were working in public radio,
yep.
but when I would see on talk shows or hear on the air people talk about video games, and I felt like there was very much a fishbowl effect, right? Like an aquarium effect where they were looking at fish like, what are the young kids into?
Oh, sure. Pokemon Go is the perfect example.
Yes.
Yep.
That was the last time that I think that it happened, and it was so bad that
even the country stations were talking about it nonstop.
Yeah.
Well, but that's the part that kind of was ridiculous to me, because you saw that if country stations are talking about Pokemon Go, that means Pokemon has some of the most incredible market saturation that ever exists in the history of mankind. So if every station or every sort of medium is talking about Pokemon, that should let you know more than just people's kids are doing Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
sure. There's somebody in those studios on the production team that plays Pokemon Go.
Well, especially at this point, too. Pokemon Go has existed for, what, over a year now? And, like, most of the people I know who are still logging in and still playing are adults.
Are grown.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was funny. I saw a tweet not that long ago that was like, you know, that first few months of Pokemon Go was really the closest we'll ever have to World Peace.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it.
It's all downhill from here.
It has been. Oh, yeah. Now we're back to
absolutely hating each other. Yeah, there were massive drops in crime rates worldwide because Pokemon Go at first came out.
Massive drops in robbery, massive increases in trespassing and vandalism.
Yes, that's fair. Dude, I would be leaving here on like a Friday night and driving through Ferndale to go home, and there would just be mobs of people on either side of the street, just like, you know,
people in Flint brave the outdoors.
Pokeballs.
Still didn't drink the water, but
you brave the outdoors.
Listen,
I saw folks walking around with their phones out in the hood, and when I say the hood, I mean the hood, going to, like, you know, gyms and stuff, which, first of all, I used to be like, why is there a gym here, like this,
right,
in an abandoned church somewhere? But people would be walking around, and I mean, let me be straight up with you, folks who look like they would not necessarily be from the hood. And it was just a very interesting experiment, because you would see a group of folks and they would come together, and then you would see another group of folks and they all got their phones out and they look at each other,
and I thought something was about to happen. You know what I mean? Like it was about to be like a West Side Story style fight.
Pokemon was about to
happen. They both were like, and they would take the gym. And I would watch the whole thing. And I'm just like, this is it. This is how we solve everything. We solve racism, bigotry. We solve it all with Pokemon.
Pokemon. That's it.
As it turns
That's
the answer. Out. Dude, I'll never forget
close.
that first week walking around my girlfriend at the time and just walking around and looking across the street, seeing two other people walking their dog, but both on their phones and being like,
Given the Robert Redford meme.
Yeah. Yeah, you think? And then sure enough, one of them yells over at me, Snorlax down that way. And I'm like, all right, yeah, for sure.
Chuck, you were a pretty enthusiastic Pokemon Go player, right?
For sure. My girl Amy is way into it, But yeah, I it was the kind of thing that I'll definitely, I will still hit. There's a gym right around the corner on the way home here.
Yeah.
That is like,
is it the clock?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
so you're the one that I would fight.
I think so. I'm Team Valor.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll put I've got a Snorlax I call Samojo, and I'll stick him in there.
Okay.
Or my I can't remember what that red the red insect that Scyther turns into.
Scizor.
Scizor. Yeah, my Scizor is named Gundam Wang, and he's sometimes in there.
For a while I had a shiny Kabutops that I was putting in there for like pretty consistently.
Okay.
He has Pokemon, a Snorlax named Samoa Joe. That is a Pokemon and a wrestling reference.
Yes, it is.
How is this the first time we've talked to him? How is that possible?
Yeah.
Yep. It is always fascinating working in this building how often you can walk by somebody and not know
that you guys
are both into the same thing.
For sure.
All it takes is that one. I mean, that's how I met my fiance.
How I met this guy.
Yeah, it's true.
Not his fiance, by the way.
We're not engaged.
Oh, no, not at all.
I think you guys would make a beautiful couple.
We would have cute kids.
That's what I'm saying.
The thing
cute
is,
adopted kids.
That somehow would both still have beards.
We'll have that. With DNA engineering, man, stem cells, man, okay. We can do anything.
Sure.
But, we are living in the future, my friends.
But, you know, it's funny. I was just talking to somebody out in the hallway about this. But, you know, you guys, well, not you, but you guys all have somebody you're dating that is at least involved in.
You've got no one to blame but yourself.
Yeah, this is not our fault. But you guys all have somebody that you can enjoy games with together,
right?
In terms of a relationship, you know, what is that like? Because my girlfriend is she's not anti-gaming, she's just not a gamer. I'm not a person to want to force her to try to enjoy what I enjoy.
All right,
sure.
I'm gonna give you the good and the bad. All right. So the good is you always have someone that you can talk to about gaming
when you get excited about
when you're
something.
Excited. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Here's the bad: when you both want to play the same game,
you gotta buy it twice.
You gotta buy it. Either buy it twice
just
or
went
take
through
turns.
Just went through this. No, there ain't no taking turns. You buy it twice. Yeah. Through this weekend. Alright.
Yeah.
Fire Emblem twice. That's right.
See, I always look at it like I've got a huge backlog of games anyways. So if I get like the Switch is the thing that we share, the Nintendo Switch. Mm-hmm. So if I get a game on the Nintendo Switch and she gets super into it, for instance, Pokemon, when Pokemon Go Eevee or whatever
Let's
it was.
Let's Go came
Let's
out.
Go. Yeah, Let's Go came out. I didn't see the Switch for like a week and a half.
For sure.
It disappeared. At one point, I brought the Switch to bed just to play it. I turned around to plug my phone in. When I turned back around, she was playing it.
Had it already.
I can't, like, she plays so infrequently, I can't just be like, give me that!
Yeah.
Well, so
what are you doing?
I just went and got my PS Vita, and just I'll play something else.
It's great for consoles in theory because now we only need one PlayStation 4 in the house. If, you know,
sure.
If we upgrade for one, we upgrade for both. Technically, we can buy games for it. The Switch is the only one where we have not been able to get that down because we both play the Switch so much.
Sure.
I bought her a Switch for her birthday because I'm tired of sharing.
I did the same thing for Christmas. Just buy her own Switch.
We've absolutely been talking about maybe we should have a second Switch.
Maybe, you know what? Wait for the new one with the extended battery life. Give her the old one.
Yes. There you go.
Robbie, that sounds like you trying to have him on the couch for a while.
Hey, you know what? His Switch will last longer than hers.
Yeah, he'll have something to do on the couch. Exactly.
There you go. So, I heard in there you're an owner of a PS Vita. That's a small club to be a part of, but
yes.
One of my all-time favorite systems. What do you usually play on the Vita?
I bought the Vita specifically to play Persona 4.
Oh, okay.
All right.
A friend of mine That's not a bad reason.
A friend of mine got me into Persona at YumaCon a couple of years ago, looking at some of the cosplayers. He's is somebody that almost every year at YumaCon, I would pull him aside and be like, all right, what's this JoJo's Bizarre Adventure thing about? And he explained it to me. I'd be like, that sounds fascinating. I got to watch that.
The next he was able to explain JoJo's Bizarre Adventure to
you? That's impressive.
No, he was able to tell me like two or three things about it. I was like, that is off the wall bonkers. I need to know.
Okay, cool.
I need to watch some of that. So Persona was another one.
Just the way that the characters are named alone, I'm sort of like, I'm in. I'm kind of in.
All you really need to know about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is in season three or four, when the character from season two is now old man JoJo, he will successfully... You got to watch... First of all, you got to watch the subtitles. Because he will... say a bunch of things in Japanese and something will happen and he'll go, oh no, in English. Something crazy will happen and he'll go, oh my god. And it's just ridiculously funny. No,
that kind of does sound awesome.
I had to play Persona 4 on the Vita because there's an extra character.
That's
there's
right.
extra stuff going
is,
on or whatever
is, yeah, yeah. The, P4 Golden.
Yep.
I did buy Persona 4, played all of it and really enjoyed it. It's the only Persona game that I've ever been able to get into.
Yeah.
Like truly actually get into.
You refuse to play 5 though.
I've tried to play 5.
It's the coolest game.
It's
ever.
So it's pretentious.
It's beautiful.
It's so
pretentious.
Good.
That's the thing that really draws me to the Persona series, at least with 4 and 5, is the music is
the music is phenomenal. Man. It's always good.
The way the menus are put together and just the art style alone is just like
there's nothing
it's
else like
beautiful.
It.
Beautiful. Yeah.
I just feel like I'm looking at an art school kid's final project.
Well, that kid got an A.
I'm not arguing the grade, okay? I'm just saying it's like, oh, it's extra. That's what it is.
We're going to find out
it's
that.
It's extra to the nth extra.
It is extremely extra,
it's
but
so
I really
extra.
Enjoyed
it. I was going to say, I enjoy it.
That's cool. If you do,
it feels like I'm playing an anime.
You know what was that that game? Was it called Mad World? That was literally all black and white?
Yeah.
DiMaggio
and Greg Proops are in that
game.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah,
I loved that game. Yes. That game was my jam. Like, I like, you know, the rough edges.
One of
and
the best reasons to
shit.
Get the Wii.
Have you seen Drawn to Death?
No.
It's on the PlayStation 4. It was one of the PS Plus free games.
Okay. Free
like
for
that.
A while, yeah.
But it's a first person or a third person shooter that looks like it's like all the art off a high schooler's like notebook.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, you check it out.
I will.
Like, find a video of it because
I absolutely will.
The art style is very interesting.
So the thing that I love my PS Vita for is the PlayStation 1 games. Like I have I have a huge backlog of PlayStation 1 games that I never got to finish.
Yep.
Suikoden is one that I mean
is that how you say it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Suikoden.
I always thought it was Suikoden.
Yeah.
Because that's how Psycho Mantis says it.
Is that how
it is?
It
yeah,
is.
If
yeah.
you have a save file on your.
Oh,
on
I
your
didn't know
thing.
That's how he says it.
You enjoy Suikoden. You like role playing.
I mean, it's very possible. I'm. You know, it's not that we're all known for correct pronunciation on this
especially
side,
so.
Pronunciation
of things that originated in Japan.
Right.
Exactly. Suikoden.
I think it's Suikoden.
I finished Final Fantasy IX on my Vita.
Nice.
That's the best place to finish.
I think I only got through the first disc when it came out originally, and
really?
It just didn't grab me in the way that 8 or 7 did. And then,
I had a similar sort of experience with it. Then when I went back and played it the second time,
yeah.
like my favorite one.
Really?
Yeah.
I still wouldn't say it's my favorite, but I'm glad I played it.
I mean, I honestly think that, like, today, if you're looking to play a PlayStation 1 game, I mean, they're hideous if you put them on a TV like this.
Has anybody...
You need the handheld screen.
Has anybody in this room experienced the PlayStation Classic yet?
No.
A couple of weeks ago, as part of, like, Amazon had their big sale, so Best Buy tried to counter program against that sale. Those things were on sale for $20.
Really?
At Best Buy. I don't think that's sale. Now they're $40. But I got one and I brought it home, and I think the first thing I played was Twisted Metal. I have no idea how I played that.
Wow.
Twisted Metal. You can't on a flat screen.
I have no idea how I understood how any of those pixels were anything.
Oh my god.
Speaking of Final Fantasy IX though, if you play the Switch version on the big screen, it looks really good actually.
Really?
I was very impressed with
upscaling.
I was going to say when they did the mobile/Steam port, which is the one that's on the Switch, they did do a little bit of upscaling.
Yeah, it looked way... Like, it didn't look hideous.
Yeah.
So I got to ask a question. So we're talking about Final Fantasy. What is your favorite Final Fantasy?
My favorite Final Fantasy. Oh man,
that's a tough question.
Let's see, I think there's 1, 2, 3. I think there's 4 different answers in this.
There is 4 different answers.
Can I add a caveat to this? There is my favorite, and then there's the best.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like where this is going.
We're already in good territory. Right. Yes.
Because that's my favorite Final Fantasy is 8.
Yes.
I love the card. The card game in that is exactly the way those card games should
work. Triad's the best.
I love Squall.
That's the sound of me judging you.
That's fair. No,
yeah,
that's fair.
Nobody's perfect.
I will admit the story is as convoluted as they get.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Some of the graphic stuff is the drawing system, not great.
You're the best looking guy here. What are you talking about?
You.
however, if I had to pick what is the best Final Fantasy, 4.
Ooh.
Interesting. Okay, so yeah,
I would not have expected 4.
8 is my favorite, and 6 is the best in my opinion.
Joe and I are of one mind.
6 is fantastic. 4 is just tight.
Yeah, it's fair.
It's great. It has emotional beats to it that match 6, if not surpass them in some ways.
6 is the best and also my favorite.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah. I'm not.
6
mad.
Is the great answer.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to argue against 6. Robbie?
7's my favorite, but I think that 9's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
Really?
Yeah. Mm.
Which
a lot of people think 9's
all different answers.
Wasn't it Sakamoto who also said that in his opinion that 9 is the best representation?
9
of
is the
Final
most Final Fantasy
is.
Final Fantasy.
That's fair.
Here's what I like. We all agree that 9 and prior to that is the best era of Final Fantasy.
Oh, yes.
No, six through nine.
Four through nine, really. I mean, I love FF5, too. I think
five's got some weirdness to it.
But five's the job system, and I love it.
It's underrated.
Yeah. I would agree that 5 is definitely underrated. Sure. I also think 3 is massively underrated, too.
3 is difficult.
3 is
three
difficult.
Is very difficult.
Is 3 the one with the weapons, where you have to use the weapons
over and
over?
No,
that's 2.
That's 2,
okay.
That's 2. 3 was the first time that they did the job system.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I remember the mini castle? That was 3.
Yeah. So the NES version of 3 is notoriously difficult, and also you needed to translate the ROM.
Yeah. Right.
But when they did the official release on the DS, that game is amazing.
With the
polygon models, the 3D models. Yep.
It was like, because the job system is my favorite thing from Final Fantasy, right? So when they restrict it, like they do in 4 and 6, even though I think it's what they do with it is good, I like to have the free, open job system. And 3 provided that for me perfectly.
Yeah. I had a weird experience with FF3 because, you know, those days, your only solution at that time was to find a ROM hack with a translation on it because never really stateside at that point. So the one that I got was perfect and normal and correct for about 3 hours.
Okay.
The first 3 hours of the game were what they're supposed to be, and you're fine. And then the translation changed 3 hours in, and it was like it was written by Booker T a la 2000. That's the best way I can put it. So my second,
wait a minute. Yeah. So you stopped playing it?
No, I kept playing.
Oh, I was about to say that sounds amazing.
I would have totally kept playing.
My context of the second half of FF3 is maybe not spot on to what it actually was.
There was absolutely a tone shift.
There was definitely a tonal shift. I was like, wow, because you're watching, you know what? I just don't feel like they put the N word in here that many times. I just feel like Japan, as progressive as they maybe weren't at that time, wasn't doing that.
Hulk Hogan, we coming for you.
Yes, exactly.
We really don't know what we're dealing with here, man.
Oh my god.
So that was my introduction to FF3.
Do you still have that? Please don't.
Oh god, no. I was probably 10.
Someone needs to find that ROM. Someone needs to find that ROM because that's funny.
The problem is you're not going to find out until you've played about half the game.
You got to figure out if it's the right one.
It's perfectly normal until then.
Oh my god. Well, speaking of wrestling, you did say that you're a big wrestling fan.
Absolutely.
Chuck. Are you paying attention to what AEW is putting together?
Oh, 100%.
Oh my god.
It's a fascinating year for wrestling in so many ways.
So is. Because, like, dude, you know, we got exposed to it in a big way through Fighter Fest down at CEO this year.
You guys got a great event at Fighter Fest.
Oh, it was so good.
good.
Yeah, you got that amazing tag match. Was it Kenny Omega and the Bucks against the Lucha Brothers?
Yeah,
you got awesome. To see that.
That was just high spot after high spot after high spot. It was so good.
You got to see Cody Rhodes take that unprotected chair shot to the dome.
Okay, can we talk about that? Because
let's talk about that
to me, I don't know that was cool. Like, I mean,
that's the thing that I find fascinating is in 2019, like universally, the entire world saw that shot and went, "No, we don't do that anymore."
Correct.
It would have been perfectly normal in the 90s. We'd have cheered and lost it.
That was a Monday Night Raw staple for a couple years. Yes. Man. People just taking shots in the face.
As soon as I saw that chair shot, I literally thought Chris Benoit in my head and went, nope, I don't need to see that spot anymore.
Totally.
I don't ever want to see that.
Do you still think you'd be talking about it if it wasn't there?
Fyter Fest?
Fyter Fest for sure.
No, totally. Yes.
The Fyter Fest was still a great enough event for us to talk about it. But I see what you're saying, Robbie.
It is the first thing that comes up every single time.
Oh, yeah.
It
was big.
In the same way that, you know, Mick Foley falling off Hell in a Cell. Like, nobody remembers.
Nobody's going to forget that.
Nobody remembers who was King of the Ring that year at that event. We just remember Mick Foley nearly died.
I totally forgot
that was at King of the Ring.
It was. And that might be the brilliance of it is because Cody doesn't ever have to take a chair shot again.
He
might have literally just said, nope, we're going out there. I'm doing the chair shot spot. We're going to make our name on that, and we're never going to do it
again.
But this is my company. And I'm taking the shot.
Well, that's what I was thinking when I saw it. You see the shot, and then he's bleeding everywhere. And okay, why? And in my head, as a wrestling fan, the gears start turning. I'm like, Cody just took an unprotected shot to the head. A, because he's not going to ask anybody else to do it.
Correct.
And B, so that they can say, this is the kind of thing we will never do.
Yeah.
I thought they would come out in story and say, like, okay, if somebody hits somebody else in the head with a chair, it's an immediate disqualification.
Yeah. Right.
Because one of the things about AEW that's so fascinating is they're saying that, like, wins and losses are going to matter, much like a sport.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, it's never going to be like, hey, you know, this guy that's lost 37 weeks in a row,
he's going to be champ.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. He's going to fight the champ and win. Yeah, how amazing. Yeah. You know, but it's a fascinating year.
It really is.
Wrestling. WWE's product has been down, but they're making these changes that they want to, you know, make the product different. And
I'll say this though, that I will give the WWE that I think AEW really needs to work on super quickly is that the women's product at WWE
is so much better.
Has improved. So much over the past 5 years.
Oh, absolutely.
It's the reason that I watch WWE.
The main reason why I tune in.
Because I could care less about Brock Lesnar.
Much more invested in their women's division than what
Becky and Seth are doing, kind of like crossing that over. Like, I like all of that. I think that is far more compelling than the other stories that they're telling.
And I think if AEW does anything that is anywhere close to what WWE has done in terms of the women's division, I think they got a serious problem.
Kuki even brings up, even in NXT, because Shayna Baszler is just a beast to watch.
Oh, yeah.
I hated her so much when I started watching
her.
She's
the best heel!
Now that I figured out, it's not that I hate Shayna Baszler, it's that she's really good at her job.
She's good at her job.
So good.
For me, she is so good. The Miz, where for the longest time, I was like, I hate you, get off my screen, and it was just like one day I realized, like, he's actually really, really good at his job.
Yeah. There's a difference between heel heat and Roman Reigns heat. And
where Roman Reigns were sort of like, I'm turning it off. I don't want
to
see
what we now refer to as Baron Corbin heat. Because he's supposed to be a good heel, but we don't hate him because he's a bad guy. We hate him because we just don't want to watch him.
Why did they let him be the manager? Like,
looks really good in a button up.
He doesn't. He does not at all. And he can't talk at all. Like, why would you let this guy within 50
feet
of a
microphone? See, that's my main thing. Okay, if you're not great in the ring, right? If your in ring product is not that
good. Which
awesome,
he's mediocre.
Right? Mediocre at best. But you can compensate for that if you were nice on the microphone.
Yeah, if you're good on the mic.
If he was nice on the microphone, he might be tolerable. But like,
even if he was a good, like, shitty heel, you know what I mean? Like an ass kissing, he can't do any of it right.
Yeah, but like, I don't follow it as hot. Yeah, I don't follow it as closely as these guys. But like, I've watched it for like 2 seconds, and I go like,
Can we watch something else, please?
Yuck. But you talk about like the value of AEW, and I mean, I literally, when I was in high school, or no, my brother was in high school, he wanted to be a pro wrestler, and you know, WWE was all there was.
Sure.
And it literally killed his passion for it. Like, yeah, he was super into it, and he just kind of drifted off slowly. And then that AEW show happened, and he literally messaged me. He's like, I'm in. I'm back in. I'm doing it.
Right.
And now he's at wrestling school learning to do this.
That's
at
awesome.
House of Truth, just, what, a few miles from here.
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah, that, like, AEW, I mean, speaks to the value that like something like that brings to like ignite a passion in
right.
wrestling again.
Right.
Because WWE got stale.
Well, and they're taking it so much more seriously than like Ring of Honor did,
yeah.
right? Like Ring of Honor had a moment where they could have gone at WWE in the same way.
Oh, sure.
But totally. Then they just got talent drained and was never able to come up with a second stable.
Right. Well, and that's the thing too. You're talking about, you know, WWE got stale. Up until a couple of years ago, it was really hard to find an alternative to that. Like WWE was professional wrestling.
What are you going to go watch TNA?
Now that we've got, you know, TNA is on Twitch or mm-hmm. Impact Wrestling is on Twitch. You've got the Ring of Honor. They've got their own streaming service. Japan Pro Wrestling is much more available.
You know what did it for me? It was when they started bringing in JR to do Japan Pro. Because I always had a hard time kind of connecting with, you know, non-English speaking casters,
sure.
right? So I can watch and I can follow the action, mm-hmm. but having JR there made it feel like, oh, it's wrestling. I really got it. And we were out in Vegas for, you know, a couple of days, and there was a couple of nights where I was just watching Access and stumbled across like some great New Japan Pro stuff. Kenny Omega was in the ring, and like it was just awesome. I was into it. I was right. sold. And then you know, the whole thing with AEW pops off, and I'm like, this is so smart.
Listen, it's as true now as it was in the 90s. You can't love a wrestler unless JR has given them a nickname. I'm sure it's true.
I'm sure it helps for you guys, too, that so many of the pro wrestlers are just huge video game nerds now.
Yeah.
Kenny Omega is a giant video game nerd.
Yeah. We've had Austin Creed on the show multiple times.
Austin Creed is, like, he's got, you know, his YouTube show, and he's a giant. And you find out through his YouTube show how many people like Asuka
or
Seth Rollins.
Asuka was actually the very first wrestler to ever be sponsored by a video game company.
Yeah.
You know, she used to work at Microsoft, like, in the Xbox division,
yeah.
and when she went to go become a professional wrestler, like, you could see that she had an Xbox logo on her tights.
Right.
They sponsored her.
You know, speaking
like, that's
of,
crazy. That's awesome.
Speaking of Xavier Woods, actually, one of the ways that we originally got connected to him was he had mentioned he played Final Fantasy 14 on Twitter, which is what we used to do a podcast for.
Sure.
And Christina, producer, had actually tweeted out saying, "Hey, have you ever heard of Limit Break Radio?" And he responds with just like a screenshot from his iPhone of his playlist of our episodes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. That was kind of wild.
Oh, yeah. That had to give you a charge for sure.
That's a nice little boost to the ego.
Hell yeah.
But it is super cool when you think about that, because you think about how much of cross pollination that there already was between wrestling and video games.
Yeah.
And
big overlap.
Huge overlap. And so the more you began to see it, that's why Fyter Fest was so cool. But the more you began to see it, I like that AEW's not running away from that.
Yeah.
And
totally.
I think that's part of what the WWE kind of did, is that they ran away from so much stuff that they could have cross-pollinated
right.
their brand with outside of stuff like get John Cena in another movie, you know, or...
Well, and now you see at every major event, too, like you can... I can count on one hand almost every time there's a SummerSlam or a Royal Rumble or something like that, somebody's got wrestling gear based on, you know, Seth Rollins comes out at WrestleMania with like Thanos-based tights.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, the New Day, when they were sponsoring Final Fantasy 14.
The Red Mage.
Xavier was a Red Mage.
Yeah.
And I think Kofi was a wizard or something like that.
It was awesome.
Just, it was fantastic.
And it was really cool. But you had a long period of time where the WWE's main goal was to be a vessel for their top talent to start being in movies.
True.
And that became very frustrating. And that was when it became most stale, because everybody knew the trajectory of some of these people.
Right.
And that was frustrating to me to watch. Like, I was heavy into the Attitude Era. Heavy, just like most people. Heavy into the Attitude Era. So The Rock, Stone Cold, all these people are like my heroes. And then after The Rock became a certain age, I'm like, all right, this guy's probably about to branch off and start doing some other stuff. He starts doing a couple movies. Now I'm like, all right, listen, who else is there?
Yeah.
And in the WWE, who has that kind of star power? And yet they're still trying to do it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because Roman Reigns is in Hobbs and Shaw.
He is.
Do you find it hard to get, Randy Orton are trying. Yeah.
Do you find it hard to get invested in wrestlers when you think that, like, well, they're going to go do something else?
Oh, yes. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why every time Brock Lesnar comes to the ring, I'm like, I don't care.
No, it's, you're, oh, cool. I don't know anybody.
Four F5s in a row? Whoop-de-doo.
I can't care because after 10 minutes in the ring, he looks like a boiled ham.
He blows up real fast.
Yeah, he does.
Dude.
So we have to ask you, favorite all-time wrestler, retired and still active?
Ooh, good question.
Good question.
Man, oh man. I was a huge Jeff Hardy fan in the Attitude Era, and I think it was because he was the wrestling equivalent of the band Nirvana, in that every time you saw him on screen could be the last time you ever see
him.
Hardy would appreciate that.
I gotta watch. He could fall on his neck and die, and this could be the last time I ever see him, so I really need to get
there were
attention.
Multiple spots where I was like, oh, he might just be dead.
Yeah.
That could be for it, sure. Actually.
Oh.
As a kid, I was a huge Macho Man Randy Savage fan. As an adult, I appreciate his promotional or his promo work so much more.
Oh my god,
he's got that one promo with the creamers.
With the creamers,
yes. The crop. I didn't realize as a kid he was palming creamers. Like I thought he was just it was just like holding the same. But no, he's got like four or five of them, and he'll pull one like, over here, and then he just pulls another one out, and you're like, where are they coming from?
The cream of the crop.
The cream always rises.
We actually used to use that as a part of our intro for when we used to do Limit Break Radio. Yeah. Because it was just the best. It's the best promo ever cut in wrestling history.
He's got another promo Amy just found on YouTube and showed me, and then we did it on her like Instagram with one of those goofy filters on or something like that. Yeah. But like, it's him and Sensational Sherry. So he's the King Randy Savage.
Yeah, King Macho King.
Yeah, Macho King, and he's screaming about being better than the best. Sherry's like, he's better than the best. You have no idea what I'm talking about. Get out of camera. And then he says something.
I remember this.
And he's like, come back in here. And she's like, better. And they get in an argument. Because like Miss Elizabeth would just meekly like just stand next to him and just agree with whatever he said.
Sherry would argue
with him.
Yes, it was great. How much cocaine does it take for that promo work to happen? It has to be a mountain.
The Mega Powers handshake.
Yes. Like,
oh my god,
that is absolutely cocaine fuel.
Oh, for sure.
That's where that drop comes from. That we really don't know where we're dealing with. It comes from the Mega Powers handshake.
Yep.
Sure does. We can't make contact because we just might blow up the whole planet, brother.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
No, and the best part about that promo is Randy Savage. He's like, yeah, I'm on an emotional high right now, and the camera zooms in and he goes, I don't think I'll be coming down for a long period of time. And I'm just like, this is really kayfabe right now, because what is real, what is fake? I don't know.
But oh, that is so funny.
Speaking of dope promos, though, for me,
Scott Steiner.
Number one, Scott Steiner. Yes. For me, though, like,
that's why I've got a Pokemon called Samoa Joe. S-A-M-O.
Samoa Joe.
Because he's fat.
Samoa Joe.
The numbers don't lie. And they spell disaster for you at sacrifice.
I got a magnet of Scott Steiner at the Comic-Con, and I put it on the fridge. And then, like, because me and Amy will constantly just yell up and down, look like you covered in Twinkies! And I had to tell her, I was like, I didn't put Samoa Joe on the fridge, like, to shame us into not eating. he's looking at, like, I don't support Samoa Joe, or I don't support Scott Steiner, you know, body shaming Samoa Joe.
Right.
It's more along the lines of, look at this absolute disaster of a human being. This is hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Scott Steiner, Macho Man, and then for me, it's like Ultimate Warrior.
Oh, yeah.
The trifecta of just
absolutely
insane promos.
Yeah. Absolutely.
For me, it's always retired as Shawn Michaels. The best ever, basically. I will watch anything if Chris Jericho's in it. I know he's getting up there in age, but Chris Jericho's incredible, and he still is like...
Jericho's great.
He's reached that point where he knows anything he does will work, and so now he just doesn't care. He does anything. I love it. Like, the AEW show, he comes out, like, doing, like, all four of his entrances, and then comes out dressed like Kid Rock to everyone booing him.
Right.
Oh, my God. The best.
My favorite all-time Shawn Michaels promo was the Hulk Hulk, where he's
oh,
like,
he's acting like Hulk
he's
Hogan.
He's all acting like Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, yes.
That is the funniest Brother. Thing because if I'm not mistaken, it actually really upset Hulk Hogan.
Makes it even better.
The best moment ever for Shawn Michaels was him wrestling Hulk Hogan.
Yes, where he's overselling
everything.
Oh my god! Have you ever like looked up the urban legend / story behind that?
I've watched a lot of the like shoot interviews right. around it. Yeah,
because apparently the next month was supposed to be where Hogan would return the favor, and I guess before they went out is when Hogan said, "Brother, I can't do next month. We're just going to do this one. This is a one-off. We're doing this one." So Shawn's like, "All right, well then I'm going to make you look like a doofus.
A fucking clown."
Oh my god, that moment though—the first time he just gets hit and does like 3 backflips across the ring.
It was like out of Looney Tunes where someone gets knocked in the head and then they just go whoop whoop whoop. You know, yeah. It's just ridiculous. So it was so good.
It's like The Rock overselling stunners.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I think there was actually a competition to see who could sell the stunner the best.
The Rock.
And the Rock won.
The Rock.
The Rock, of the course, Rock. Won. But now...
I don't know. Vince McMahon was always really good at selling it.
No, they're awful. Are you kidding me? No. He just, like, falls on him. It's terrible.
It's bad. No, it's The Rock.
And now we get to live it all over again because Kevin Owens is using the stunner.
Right. Yes.
So now everybody gets now people get to be like, okay, can I sell the stunner better than that guy sold the stunner?
Can I tell you that Kevin Owens is the only reason I would still want to tune into WWE?
Kevin Owens is great. I didn't think about, you know, like I said, Jeff Hardy was my guy for a long time. AJ Styles can do no wrong.
AJ Styles is pretty... Well, I'll tell you what. AJ Styles can do no wrong except for the hair when he came back and that entrance theme.
Oh, that hair.
In the ring, man.
In the ring, he is
put
phenomenal.
AJ Styles in the ring with anything, and he is going to make it look gold.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I completely agree with that.
I like Finn Balor.
Finn Balor is great too.
I like him a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I like the Demon.
Yeah.
Finn, that is the new match I'll go to if somebody doesn't watch wrestling and like, what do you like about this? Finn Balor and AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was a match we didn't expect to get. And I was just reminded the other day. You know, do you remember what bullet we dodged that we got that match? It was supposed to be Finn Balor versus Sister Abigail.
Yeah.
Oh.
The Bray Wyatt as Sister Abigail. And then Bray got, what is it? Bray and Roman and all them got something and they were
like
contagious.
Mono or something.
So they couldn't wrestle that much. So they scrambled that week and they were like,
I guess Finn Balor versus AJ Styles is a good match.
Let's put Finn and AJ in the ring together. That should work, right?
What do you think of Bray's new gimmick?
I love it.
Do you?
It's the only thing, like, it's the only reason I tune in on a live basis
because I see
what he's going to do next.
I've only heard about it. Like, I stopped.
So, yeah, break it down because
I stopped watching for a while after they took the Riot Squad off.
That's fair.
Off TV.
I loved them.
The Riot Squad was my favorite thing to watch. Liv Morgan, I have the biggest, stupidest crush on her. I can't wait to see what they're doing with her gimmick because I did see that she came out, wrestled Charlotte, and then was like, you know,
when
like,
I come back, I'll be for real.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know what it is either, but I'm really excited to find out. So I tapped out a while ago, but thought about started to checking it out when I heard they put Eric Bischoff and
Eric Bischoff supposed to be the executive producer of SmackDown,
and then who's doing Raw?
Paul Heyman is supposed to be the executive producer of Raw. Raw is by far the more interesting of the two the last couple of weeks.
Okay.
But you can absolutely...
Zoom types.
Excuse me. It's not me on the radio if I don't sneeze. You can absolutely see Eric Bischoff's influence week to week. Last night, okay. SmackDown ended with Roman Reigns was supposed to announce who he's going to face at SummerSlam. And just before he got to the interview segment, this bunch of stuff just fell on him. And they ended with the crew
bunch of stuff like
road cases and some of that like iron piping that they use for the staging and stuff like that, just like ka-chunk on top of Roman Reigns.
Wow. That is Eric Bischoff,
right? And then they're pulling it off. That's how they go off the air is with like, what in the world? Who pushed stuff over on Roman Reigns?
Oh my god!
And like that's some crazy Attitude Era stuff. I'm like, all right, I'm here for that.
Was he standing on like a giant red X?
No, I didn't see the red X, but I have to imagine it was. You know, obviously. obviously put together like that. No.
So explain
the way I explain the Bray Wyatt thing.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the internet video Don't Touch Me, I'm Scared?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's that. It's this like it starts with this like kid show.
So like called, like Wonder Showzen?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, it's okay. This kid show but I'm something's into it. But something's a little off.
Yeah.
And even if you don't know who Bray Wyatt is, you just see like he's still got kind of the dreads but he's in like a sweater vest.
Yeah.
And he's got some puppets and he's got this Sister Abigail puppet that looks like Annabelle from the horror movies.
Okay.
And then he's got what's the other? He's got the Buzzy the Buzzard and it's just really grotesque buzzard in a cardboard box and it's a hand puppet and he talks to them and he like does these, you know, like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood kind of things, but it's Bray Wyatt doing it. So you're like the first couple weeks you're like what in the world is this? And then after doing it for a couple of weeks, you would get these flashes like the camera would cut to like the same set but dark with like crazy lighting and him wearing the Slipknot looking mask that looks like the Joker.
Jesus.
Right. And
has he
like,
been in the ring yet?
Not
since
yet.
Starting the gimmick? Okay.
Next Sunday's SummerSlam is the first time we're going to see him as the Fiend, which is what he is when he's wearing the mask.
Okay.
But they started a couple weeks ago. They did those and then they stopped doing them. And they're like, that's the coolest thing about Raw. Why would you stop doing that?
Yeah.
Well, the reason they stopped doing it is because you would see The Miz walking through the backstage so he can go to the ring. And then, like, Sister Abigail would peek around the corner from behind him and then go back. And you're like,
They're
infesting the show.
Doing little Easter eggs.
Right.
Sort of thing.
They're not in the show anymore, but they're in the show. And then a couple of weeks ago, I think the first one was actually during the Raw reunion where they had all the old guys in there.
Yeah.
And Mick Foley was in the ring just talking about how cool it is to be back on Raw. And then all the lights gradually went down and there was this noise and then you hear Bray Wyatt laughing. And the lights started coming up like these spotlights, and the Fiend was in the ring, and he gave Mick Foley the mandible claw.
Interesting.
Yeah. And
then now I'm kind of into this.
He did the same thing to Finn Balor. It was the week before.
I did see that.
Yeah. So that's the thing.
Was his getup that supposed to be the Fiend?
It's called the Fiend. Yeah. But it looks it definitely looks like it's a little bit Slipknot, a little bit the Joker from DC Comics.
Yeah.
In there and stuff. And
interesting.
It's this fascinating. Bray Wyatt is a great character because he brings that Undertaker supernatural
aspect
to it.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, they've booked him like garbage.
Right.
So he has lost at WrestleMania, him and when he had the Wyatt family, which was like this creepy redneck family.
Right. It's like they created the character. They're like, okay, we need our new undead wizard character because our old undead wizard character
needs to retire. But they're going to job him out to absolutely everybody.
Yeah. And they completely forgot that the Undertaker showed up and won like every match for like a year.
Yeah. Like he's got to be
scared.
He was
an unstoppable machine.
You have to, the monster characters like Kane and the Undertaker, you have to survive them. You don't beat them, you survive them.
Well, right.
And when you win the match, you just barely scrape by and then inevitably they focus on somebody else and you're free.
The bottom completely fell out of that gimmick with the Randy Orton match where they had shit projected down onto the ring as if that was supposed to do something.
I was into it, but at the same time I was like, Randy Orton's gonna beat him and it's gonna suck.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And it did. And it did
suck. Yeah, pretty much.
So before we let you go, let's talk some Marvel. Robbie, you've been pretty quiet.
No Spider-Man. We'll stay away from the Spider-Man.
Don't spoil the Spider-Man.
Sure.
We just got a huge dump at San Diego Comic-Con a couple of weeks ago about what we can expect for the next phase of
four.
The MCU. Yeah, like what are you looking forward to out of that?
Doctor Strange.
Yes.
Doctor Strange, a legitimate horror movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Okay, I'm in.
So the from what I understand of it, Robbie, from what you've told me, the Vision, the
WandaVision.
WandaVision is supposed to like be
the
a
effects,
lead-in.
Yeah, the effects of whatever happens in WandaVision leads directly into Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Right.
Yeah. So is it just me or does it feel like they're taking some of the beats from like House of M to kind of make this
kind of I can see that. I can see the comparisons there. Phase 4 is just weird.
I mean, but
it
how
is.
Do you so,
like
so here's my question is how do you incorporate House of M? Here's the thing. I don't think that they're making House of M.
No.
I think they're just taking ideas and elements from House of M because the whole idea that she's projected her own world where you know the Vision is back alive and they have family.
That's essentially
House of M.
That's how House of M started.
It is.
So I just I love that idea of taking, you know, one of those core concepts that worked so well, because that book was so good, and then just kind of making it
finding a new way.
Making it into something a little bit different.
That's what a lot of, because, you know, you said phase four is so weird, and they've said, you know, after the Infinity Saga, going into the next phase, we're doing something different. We're telling stories a different way. And I think they have to, because you're not gonna one up the Infinity Saga.
Well, and they're absolutely at a point where, like, you see so many people leading back to probably, I want to say, maybe Guardians 2 or something like that. Like, so every time one of these movies comes out, it breaks records. Whether it's, you know, it doesn't even have to be an Avengers movie, whether it's Black Panther or Captain Marvel or Spider-Man.
Totally. Yeah.
Every time there's a Marvel cinematic movie, it's going to break records and a million people are going to go see it on opening day because we like how these stories are told.
Yeah.
So they're at the perfect point to start trying stuff out. Like, let's do a horror movie. Let's take the Eternals, who have maybe 24 comics about them.
And make them
into something, which is something you had said about Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, when they decided to do Guardians of the Galaxy, it was like, I was convinced those were the characters Thanos was going to kill, because we'll do this movie about these characters that don't really have a lot of stake in the Marvel Universe, so that when Thanos has to kill somebody, we've got cannon fodder. so that the movie people, who have no idea who this purple guy is, now hate him because he killed my tree and raccoon.
Yeah, right. That makes sense.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
There's that. I also felt like Guardians was for, you know, this is a way for us to not just open up the cosmic Marvel Universe, but Guardians were going to be more of a blank slate than everybody else.
Definitely wasn't. Well, and that was to their credit, but I think it was definitely a test. How far back into our catalog can we reach that people will accept?
Right.
Which is why I give Shang-Chi kind of more credit and more sort of wiggle room than I would if it would have came out in the first couple phases.
Oh, for sure.
Well, and here's something I think Shang-Chi actually has going for it as well, because he also sort of exists in a similar realm to what Iron Fist would have.
Yeah, and Iron Fist
sucks. Iron Fist would have worked.
Yeah,
out.
That's the thing, is that I think all of us walked into Iron Fist expecting like a 70s kung fu movie and didn't get it. So,
and we got a second dude from Game of Thrones slapping people.
Yeah, you've got a second chance to, like, give us one of them cool Bruce Lee chop sake.
Yes. And they said it's a kung fu movie.
Yes. And I like that. Well, and I mean, if you think about it, a lot of the other Marvel movies really kind of embody a certain genre of
They're
film.
Not just superhero movies.
Right. Yeah. Captain America, the very first
piece.
The first one was a period piece. The second one was a straight up Jason Bourne movie.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that they played with genre as much as they played with the heroes that they could. And I think, like, the obvious move, if I'm Marvel, is, okay, I want to extend to the cosmic universe. Your first thought is, oh, Silver Surfer, duh, right? But they didn't have access to him, so they had to, like, the creative thinking that the Marvel team had to do, given the access that they had to the heroes that they had, they made all of the right
moves. And it keeps us on our toes so much as well, because, you know, leading up to Infinity War, we knew that Adam Warlock wasn't going to be there, and so every discussion we ever have was, who's going to be in Adam Warlock's role?
Sure.
Who's going to take on that part? And nobody did.
There is no Adam Warlock.
So whatever the next one, you know, next big crossover is, if it's, you know, Secret Invasion, Secret Wars, whatever, when we do actually know what it is, we still will have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah. Right. What do you think the next big arc is going to be? Sort of like, you know, the Infinity arc was the first big one.
If I was putting together these Marvel movies, because this is Phase 4, you just got the X-Men and the Fantastic Four back, you don't do Phase 4 without the Fantastic Four.
Yes, I agree.
Like, it's right there. The symmetry is right there, and I would lead up to Dr. Doom for the second.
Yes.
or maybe because if you're talking Fantastic Four, the two big ones are Dr. Doom and Galactus.
Yeah,
like, let's,
I could,
but
I
then
could,
you can't do Galactus without the Silver Surfer, in my opinion.
I can see if
the next saga is leading to Galactus, have time to bring the Silver Surfer.
If I have to try and top Thanos, then I guess the next thing is Galactus. But man, I got to figure out a way to not have a giant dude in a purple helmet
or a giant cosmic fart cloud.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's the thing that's the most fascinating to me about the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies is when you get a character that the comic book version is so incredibly hokey that this could have went sideways real easy.
Totally.
The most recent Spider-Man movie, it did not occur to me until I was sitting in the theater how easily you could have got Mysterio wrong.
And they did him so.
There was no spoilers in there.
Look at the comic book version of Mysterio. He's wearing a goofy green outfit and he's got a fishbowl head.
Yeah.
And like, that's a dumb character, man.
My one complaint is that nowhere in that movie did they make fun of the fishbowl head.
It's true.
Yeah, they should have.
But again, when I watch Doctor Strange, when Dormammu shows up, like, he's another one. You look at the comic book equivalent of Dormammu, that's dumb. A goofy character.
It's stupid.
But the way that
it's a man with a long cloak and a flaming head.
Yeah, right. But then you see it in the movie and it's
all
that's terrifying.
Yeah, that's kind
of
cool.
That's awesome.
Well, and that's why I'm pretty excited about the whole horror angle of Doctor Strange, because if we're talking about dealing with like Dormammu and Mephisto and all those types of characters, that's hell basically.
Yeah.
That's Marvel's version of hell.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited just to see visually what they try to attempt with it.
I want that New Mutants movie so bad. I don't even want it to be connected to anything. I just want it.
Yeah.
Just you filmed it, release it.
A show now? Like, it's gone through it's changed so much.
It was supposed to be a horror movie, and like then they had to do reshoots, and it's just,
I don't think you're ever going to see it, man.
Look, I think
Phoenix was the end of the Fox stuff.
I sat through Dark Phoenix. I feel owe me my New Mutants movie.
I'd be inclined to agree with you.
So, guys, I have to go take a phone call. I need to leave you with an image, though. I truly believe that there are like pictures that will be seen by people in the future, and like they'll have to try and understand the context of what they just saw.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna like. There's a lot to unpack in this one screenshot.
Okay.
What are we looking at? Oh my goodness.
There's a lot going down in that image.
That is professional wrestling in 2019, everybody.
It sure is.
Kinda is. Well, Chuck, man, we have been having a blast with you here. In fact, losing track of time, having so much fun hanging out with you.
Thanks for having me.
Again, tell everyone where they can find Nerd Radio.
Download Nerd Radio as part of the B-Pod Studios Network. We're on iTunes. We're on Spotify. We're on anywhere you get your podcast. But we most importantly are on WRIF.com on the podcast page every week.
There you go. Check it out. Chuck Bean, host of Nerd Radio, has been our guest here on Checkpoint XP. Stick around. We got more coming up next. Thanks, Chuck.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Chuck Bean for his time. For full interviews, make sure you visit our website over at checkpointxp.com. And don't miss Nerd Radio, 11:30 a.m. on Wednesdays, right here at our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/checkpointxp. And subscribe to their podcast over at bpodstudios.com. Thanks for joining us for the Checkpoint XP podcast. CheckpointXP.com is where you can find out more info about the show, interviews from past episodes, and a whole lot more. That's all over at CheckpointXP.com. Stay up to date on all the latest by following us on social media. That's CheckpointXP on Facebook and Twitter, as well as Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And if you like the show, consider dropping by and giving our Apple Podcasts a rating and a review. Checkpoint XP is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. For the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan, my name's Abe Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to the Checkpoint XP podcast. Make sure you subscribe to iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, tune into our weekly radio show. For more information and the latest on esports and gaming, go to checkpointxp.com.